Hello, Bill.
I don't know what to call you. I mean, it's your basement. Do I just call you the Papa? Is that what we have to do?
It's just John.
Can I call you the Beard? Can we go back to the old school days?
Taking it back to the JFK days. You can call me Beard if you want. It's been a long time since I've heard that.
That's good, though.
It's almost like a slave name.
Well, no, it's... Well, I don't want to imply that. I don't want to apply that at all. No,
that was a
nickname of affection. We did that because we loved having you doing the show with us. So that's why we called you the Beard.
The Beard. I was always weirded out being called the Beard on that show, though, just because Danny had the same beard I did. We literally had the same hair.
We looked
like a dog and owner couple that had like grown to resemble each
but
other.
But the thing with that was, and do you remember how it came about? Do you remember how the beard came about?
There's
do you remember
like
that?
Mafioso.
There is
named
a mafia.
Beard.
There is a mafia story in the news. The one day, because remember at the end of the show, we would always do the random offbeat news stories.
And that was my favorite. We got weird for a half hour.
Right, and there was a guy in the news that for whatever reason, a mafia name, and he was the Beard. And if I remember right, they weren't even like Italian mafia. I want to say they're like Russian mafia or something like that. And they called the guy the Beard. And remember, we had the other producer that was living with, he had the Russian landlord.
Really?
You remember Aaron lived
Aaron
with the Russian?
Leisner,
right.
Like, yeah.
He lived, I believe his landlord was Russian.
Oh, it's so one of those like big Orthodox beards.
Right, so
we kind of
tied it in with that it would make sense that if anybody was going to be in some kind of Russian mob, even though you're not Russian.
This story gets deeper each time.
Yeah,
no, I'm Greek.
Right. Yeah, exactly. But we said that you'd be the perfect person to be the Russian mobster in this situation. So we started calling you the Beard. And it just fit. It made sense. And it was easier for me to try to remember everybody's name. That's why I give everybody nicknames because I'm terrible with names.
Well, especially around a station. But really any work situation.
Of course.
It takes me forever to retain a damn thing. And I'm a one-man business. I'm a locksmith. I can't tell you how many times people introduce themselves to me. And it's gone.
Right, of
course.
3 seconds
later, I'm just like, whoa. And then I have to be like, hey, you, glad I could help you.
Yeah, exactly. And they would, you know, I can remember you helped out a buddy of mine a few years back when he had the lock situation.
Was that really a few years? Oh, my God.
It's been a couple years.
Time flies.
At least two, I think.
We are going to die so soon.
Yeah, of course.
Bill. It is terrifying.
But I just remember in talking to him when he said, oh, crap, my girlfriend locked her keys in, blah, blah. And I was like, well, you could do one of two things. You could wrap a towel around your hand and punch through a window and open that and get in that way. I said, or I can call my buddy. He's a locksmith. I said, if he's not busy and it's not that far away, I'm sure he would come out. You know, you're going to have to pay him. I'm like, I'm not going to ask him to do it for free because this is his livelihood. He
I appreciate
it.
That. Yeah, I would have done it for free.
No.
If it's
no.
you, it's free.
Well, I appreciate that. And he said, oh, okay, yeah. And I said, well, let me grab his number. I'm going through and I'm like, oh, crap. And for like a split second, I'm like, I don't remember his real name. And I said, we called him the Beard. And I said, I have it in my phone as just Beard. That's what I had you in my phone as. And I was like, I forgot his name. It was like, I was so embarrassed. I'm like, for like a couple seconds, I'm like, you just have to call him and be like, I'm a friend of Bill Rollins. And he'll be like, oh, sure. And just do it that way. I said, and then maybe he'll tell you his name. And then, of course, I remembered it. And I was like, okay, just call him. And I said, Papa George was his last name.
Hey, what's up?
Hey, Beard. So it's a funny thing. He's like, let me see. What do you mean you only know him as the Beard? I'm like, well, I mean, I know him.
We're in a zany radio world.
Right.
Together.
I was like, when we worked together, that's what we called him every night on the air. We never called you by your real name.
No.
It was always Beard. You know, hey, Beard, go do look this up. Hey, Beard, what do we have for this? I mean, that's what it was. And it wasn't we were making fun of you. It was, we called each other.
And it's just very hard to explain that world to people who haven't worked in some sort of, I guess, entertainment. Is radio entertainment? I know, Geronimo likes to say we're one notch above the circus clown.
Right, exactly. I mean, it's nobody in a law office you might have like nicknames, but for the most part, guys call each other by their last name.
But there's just a weirdness and a casualness to that. And especially like we'd go to break and then it would just be like, hey, look at this picture of this naked woman.
Right, exactly. Exactly.
Like, no fear of any lawsuits.
No, nobody's worried about any of that because we're all friends here. So it's okay. Yeah. So it worked out.
It's
but
like, can I get this beef past the filter? And I can.
And the thing is, when like again, if you're in a law firm, guys may have nicknames for each other, but there's probably the variation of their last name. That's what guys, for the most part, do. If you've got some sort of last name that works well with as it being a nickname, that's what they're going to call you. I have a friend, you've met him, Chris Jolly. My buddy.
I love Jolly. You,
of course. What does everybody call him? Jolly. Nobody calls him Chris. Yeah. My girlfriend calls him Chris, but her kids call him Jolly. Because, and it's not even Mr. Jolly, it's just Jolly, because that's what he's always been. It's just, that's Jolly. That's
Mr. Jolly sounds like a Spanish Santa Claus. Well, Senor Jolly.
Exactly. I mean, guys do that, but in radio station, for whatever reason, it's not even necessarily a play off your last name. It's whatever reason. It may be a physical attribute. In your case, it just happened to be the beard. And if we had never read that story, you probably never get that nickname. It's probably something else that we call
it. Just be like, fat fuck.
Well, I don't know if it would have been that. There are other guys that are much larger than you.
That is true. Everyone is bearded and fat in radio.
And unfortunately, I'm only half of that. I don't have the beard. So, but for instance, Jim Mullins, we both know.
Oh, yeah.
Mullins
still around, by the way?
Absolutely. He produced my show yesterday, Sunday, I should say, because I don't know when this is going to hit the interwebs. But Sunday.
This will be up today.
Okay, well, Sunday. Did a show. Mullins was my producer. Now, Jim Mullins has had a variety of nicknames throughout his time working for CBS Radio.
I remember the particularly cruel landfill and maybe dump truck, or was it just landfill? And
landfill.
Just, everything trash related, yeah, exactly. I'm associating.
I call him Tank.
Tank. See, Tank is manly sounding.
Right, because in all honesty, I don't exactly know why he was called landfill. I can guess.
Yes.
I can come up with it. I didn't feel personally comfortable calling him that because it wasn't the nickname I gave him. And I have a problem if a guy doesn't call himself that.
Yes.
If he didn't.
And I don't think he would call himself
that.
He
didn't introduce himself as, hey, I'm Jim. Everybody calls me Landfill.
Yeah.
I mean, some guys will do that. Some guys say, hey, look, this is my name, but everybody around here is going to call me this.
It's like Animal House.
Right, exactly. A guy I work with that I worked with for years, I'm in Baltimore, Steve Dreppard, one of the best producer, commercial voice guys out there. You know, the first time I ever met him, going back 10, 11, 12 years, he said, hey, the big, deep voice that he has, I can't do. By the way, I apologize. I sound like I'm in a submarine because
Bill,
I'm cold.
Bill, you sound fantastic.
It's terrible.
You got energy. That certainly is absent from this show, but, typically.
But he introduced himself. He said, hey, how you doing? My name's Steve Dreppard. Everybody calls me Drep. Call me Drep. Okay. From that day on, I don't call him Steve. I call him Drep.
Drep.
When I write an email to him, I don't say, Steve, Drep, D-R-E-P. When I call him on the phone, hey,
dear Drep, in your best cursive.
Exactly. When I call his wife, it's like, oh, hello, Mrs. Dreppard. Is Drep home? And she knows who I'm talking about. So Mullins never introduced himself as Landfill. So I was like, I need a nickname for this guy because there is, of course.
I so never once called him
Jim. There is, of course, Jim Mullins. There was Jim Jester, who we work with now. I don't know if he was working with us in Fairfax. I worked with him.
Was he? I thought Jester was there Saturday.
May have been. I don't remember.
Something like that.
Yeah, probably so. Again, there's so many guys that just run through there.
Oh, yeah.
That run the board that they're there for like 2 weeks, and then they find out that they can make more money delivering pizza, they leave.
They realize they've made a horrible mistake.
And to be honest with you, that's why I try not to get to know too many of them, because I'm like,
don't worry,
well, if I get invested in this guy and I know his name and I know about his family, everything else, and then suddenly he's gone, I'm going to feel bad. But if I just give him some stupid random nickname and then one day I go, hey, what happened to Tank? And people go, oh, he's not here anymore. I go, oh, that's a shame. Now I need somebody else that I can call a cute nickname.
Yeah.
So I called him Tank because he's as big as a tank. He's not as strong as a tank. He's just
as big as a
tank. Although he still claims, and this has nothing to do with anything that we said we were going to talk about.
Doesn't give a shit.
He claims that if he and I were locked in a room together, and I was on one side of the room, and he was on the other, and I had to get out of the room to the door where he was, that there's no way I could get past him. He said, I would just run and crush you against the wall. I said, dude, if it's a life and death situation, there's no way you're stopping me from getting out.
Because a very I Love Lucy kind of almost homoerotic scenario.
Well,
where did this
for
come
for him?
We're trapped in a room together, Bill.
I think one day we were talking about, I don't remember what it was. I was talking about getting in fights or something on the air. And I said, look, I don't get in fights with the guy. I haven't been in fights since I was in high school.
It's been a long time.
At least a fair fight anyway. I mean, there were, you know, a couple times in college where stuff would break out. And you'd always kind of look around and say, okay, are the numbers with me or am I in the minority? Because if I'm in the minority, I'm getting the hell out of here. Just going to break bad for the bar.
This party was over for me anyway.
Exactly. It's time to go. So, I mean, I've had a couple of those in college, but the last real, like, there's two of us, there's two of you fight was in high school. And I was talking about that or whatever, and and Tank made some comment like on the air. So off the air, I said, you do realize I'd kill you, right? I said, I know that I'm probably conservatively 150 pounds, maybe even 200. Jim's not a small guy. That's why we call him Tank. I said, you outweigh me probably easily 150 pounds, if not more. I said, but one, you're slow.
Yeah.
I said, I know I can outrun you, so that's not a problem. I said, and if it came down to it, I said, I'm kicking you in the junk. I'm hitting you in the head with whatever I got around me. I said, I got a feeling you're soft, and then I'm going to beat you down and then just step over your lifeless body as I leave the room. And he's like, oh, there's no way. I'd just crush you against the wall. I said, you'd have to get a hold of me first, and that would not happen. I wouldn't allow it.
I would have let him cling to that one conceit. If he wants to believe that deep down primal instinct, that's like my brother. I love my brother. He's like maybe buck 70 and 5'11".
See, but you're a guy
like
who's in good shape. You work out. You're a muscular. I mean, not, you know, not trying to say anything. I mean, you're a guy who's in good shape. Were you a high school wrestler? Is that?
No, I got into it like way later in life. I actually what
happened. But you've done that though. You've had the hand-to-hand combat.
I've just lifted, really.
Okay.
I've done a lot of lifting in my day because I got to college and I was like, holy shit, real people look like that? Like, I'd be in the showers and once in a while you see a guy, he's like all jacked. I'm like, no wonder I'm not getting pooned. This exists right next to me.
There you go.
They're going to take that. And so, yeah, I treated it almost like a dirty word at first. Like, I snuck barbells in my room.
Right.
I was just doing curls and shit. But yeah, after a while, I got very into physical
stuff. Well, there you
go.
And see, and so I can understand why.
Out of it.
I can understand, though, why you would think you would crush your brother because you're a guy who's
He has this conceit though. He's like, I have crazy strength. Like, if in a fight I could like eye gouge and bite and that shit, I'm like, look, there are people smaller who have done actual MMA training and things of that nature, and they'll kill you in a fight. It doesn't matter if you try to outcraze them and grab their balls like a peach.
Right,
they will get you. It sounds like Jim is kind of subscribing
I think that he is on that.
Deep down, they have this weird
need. He just looks at it, he's like, I'm a 20-something-year-old guy, and there's no way this over 40 guy would be able to take me down. But he's wrong, because I would pick up a chair and crack him across the head with it. I wouldn't think twice.
I'm totally cool with admitting a lot of people could beat the fucking snot out of me.
Of course. He's not one of them.
Yeah.
Nah, that's the way I look at it. He's not one of them.
I could definitely dust him.
Yes. And again,
and I'm
it's
no great sprinter.
Nothing against him. I like Tank a lot. I wouldn't call him Tank if I didn't like him.
Yeah.
There's no way, when it comes right down to it, he's at one end of the room, I'm at another, and he's blocking my way out, that I'm not going through him, around him, or whatever it may be. I'm getting out of that room. Because again, I will pick up a computer monitor and crack him across the head. He's not going to do that. At least not quick enough for me not to be able to get out of the way, because he doesn't move fast. It's all about speed against him.
I'm really picturing this transpiring in our old digs. By the way, I haven't given Bill a proper introduction. This is Bill Rowland. Dare I say DC broadcast legend?
I wouldn't dare you to say it because it wouldn't be true. But if you'd like to say it, that's fine.
I want to say it. It feels right to me. And Bill is the guy who hosted the very first show, and really the only show that I was just sitting there on the boards for as a producer. And I got to with Bill on air. You were my first like path into actually.
So I broke your radio cherry then.
Exactly.
I own your radio virginity. that's tremendous.
That is why when drunk to this day, I'll dial you.
There you go.
Like, let's do it again.
I wonder why I was invited in. Now I know why. It's like you're going back to your old habits that, you know, you couldn't get enough of it.
Through
so
the little
I understand.
Black book.
Yeah, sure. Okay.
And I, through the years, we've kept in touch.
Of course.
It's weird to me that it's been years. Is it not weird to you?
It's been it'll be 5 years in July since they started The Fan here in D.C.
Yeah.
That'll be the 5th year anniversary. So it was probably 4 years.
It was 1 year in. Exactly.
Yeah, it was about a year in. It was about probably June of that year that we started doing
so
the night
weird.
Show with Danny.
Yeah, I started as like your Friday night call screener.
Okay.
And it was almost like waiting for, I felt like Prince Charles. I'm just waiting for that old bitch to die. Because there's this very defined totem pole where, for some reason, you guys, I think Aaron Leister.
Aaron was one of the guys,
He was originally your board op.
Uh-huh.
Except for Fridays.
Okay.
And Friday, for whatever reason, Aaron was gone. Now, your call screener Monday through Thursday was Alan Lamb.
Yes.
And Alan, when Aaron was gone on Friday, he would come in.
Right.
And suddenly I was your call screener that
night.
Well, eventually Aaron's like, fuck this shit. I have to pay a bill or two.
Right.
And then Alan becomes, guess what? Your Monday through Friday producer.
And that didn't last very long.
I'm the call screener Monday through Friday. It really was like royalty ascending, except to a crown of nothingness. And eventually Alan is like, I need a big boy job.
Exactly. Alan couldn't. I think he went back to school.
He did. Yeah. And that was years ago. I remember thinking at the time.
Probably 3-4 years ago.
I was like, oh my God, a 2-year degree? What the fuck? He'll be in school till whenever. And now the joke's on us.
It's gone, yeah.
Because it's gone like that. And there he's 2 years into whatever his new industry is.
Right, right. And then, I don't know. I feel horrible. No idea where Alan Lamb is. And that's terrible.
Alan's still in D.C. Like
I'm sure, but it's terrible because, like I said, you have these people that come into your life, and you know, again, you are just a phone screener on a Friday night. Yeah. And I don't know what's going to happen to you. I don't know how long you're going to wait and stick it out. So I wasn't really invested until you became the guy that was on our board every single night. And we realized, Danny Rouye, who did the show with, realized, hey, you know what? This guy actually has something to say. This guy actually has something that he can add. We can go to you, and it's not going to be like, oh, that was a huge mistake. Why did we even
have him
open his microphone?
Every time. I was like a dog waiting to piss. Like, I was just tail wagging at the door anytime you guys wanted to catch me.
But it worked out well because you understood that if we went to you and you gave us some lame answer, or we knew that you didn't have any idea of what we were talking about, which, I mean, again, there were times that we didn't know what we were talking about, let alone how's anybody else going to know the information that we're looking for? And if you didn't, you didn't get pissed if we were like, oh, C. Beard, this is why we don't let you talk.
Yeah.
I mean, you're just like, oh, I get it. It's part of the show. Some people can't handle that.
And why are they in that business?
I don't know. Because
it weirds me out.
As soon as the microphones would get turned off, all three of us would just start laughing because it was just a funny moment on the show and nobody got their feelings hurt. That was, to me, that was the beauty of doing that show. It was, and I've had a lot of incarnations. It was probably right up there with one of my favorite shows to do because everybody just had a good time. Nobody was leaving offended. Nobody was getting upset. Everybody just understood, hey, one time Danny might get picked on. Another time you guys might make fun of me. Most of the time we were going after you because that was just the dynamic of the show. We were the hosts.
I'm the fucking turtle at the bottom of the totem pole.
And that's what happens. But everybody, piss trickles down. Everybody had to take their shots. Everybody had to take their abuse, and it worked. So it was fun.
It's weird you mentioned that. It really is the only time I've gotten a professional paycheck. Like, I don't view my own business as
that's professional. Come on.
It is what it is. But to
out there working hard.
That's true.
I'm working harder than a lot of people are. So
it's hard, but at the end of the day, I'm answering to myself that it's weird to me that I will probably never have another job where I was working with others, we're part of a team that was that good.
Yeah,
it's
you never know.
I miss it. I'm glad I'm not the only one that enjoyed
it
that much.
It was a great show.
Do you remember how I used to like fetch free food?
Of course.
That was my in with you guys. I was like, really? What are the keys to a man's heart? Well, it's sex and food. And I'm not providing one of these.
No, right.
So I'm getting these guys a ton of pizza and whatever else I can scrounge up.
No,
you were
very good at that.
That was
very
my
good
thing.
At that. Yeah.
That was my thing.
You didn't ever get us hookers, but you got the
I could have.
Pizza.
Just say the word.
It was fine.
Hookers and blow.
Right. Exactly.
Do we actually get to the topics now?
We probably should, because I'm sure by this point most everybody is bored.
Why would they be? Electrifying banter right there.
if they didn't know the history lesson before, I'm sure by now they're
wondering
why we're not
talking
about
the topics
of the day.
Like, I got one guy who actually got me in the business, Don Hanslick, and then Bill's the dude who's like, hey, you can go on mic. You're not a complete shithead.
Right.
And I will thank you for that.
Who's Don Hanslick?
Don Hanslick was based in the D.C. area.
Okay.
By the time he got me in, he was like a program director of one of these horrible little cell-phone stations, which have gone the way of the dinosaur.
Mom and pop that aren't around anymore, which is too bad.
It sucks because like Don was a great guy, a radio vet. It's like a gig you would have loved.
Where was he at? I'm just surprised.
I want to say he was on Big 100.3 for a while.
I grew up in this area, and
he had a radio name. It wasn't Don Hanslick.
Okay, because I fashioned myself as a guy who kind of knew. If I didn't know them personally, I would at least know of most of the folks that were around from like the late 70s on, because I was one of those kids that would just sit and listen to everything and kind of prided myself on knowing even the stations I didn't listen to. But that's okay.
I'm going to have to find out what Don's radio name was. Because it's like Hanslick was too ethnic.
Well,
so he's,
of course.
Donnie
right.
Boom Boom or whatever the hell he was.
Harv Moore or something like that. Yeah.
The boy next door.
Exactly. Exactly. Or Johnny Dark. was another one.
God damn it. Why is radio dead? Why, Bill? Why? It pains me. Why do we love this?
People don't care anymore.
Why do we love because this shitty dying medium?
Beats working for real.
Yeah, but it beats TV and movies too. Like, for me, this is all I'd ever want to do. I've looked into stand-up, especially after working with Danny. I'm like, he seemed to enjoy that.
Sure.
I have no interest in stand-up. This is what I want to do. I just want to talk with a friend and be like, that was what I did. That was my productive thing. And people are like, that's nothing. It's like, yeah, but did you notice any real lulls? That takes effort.
Right. Well, that's why you should, you know, you've got what? Would you tell me off the air, like 4,000 to 5,000 people a week?
I'm like 5,000 a week.
At least download it. They may not listen to it, but at least download. I mean,
shut up. They listen in my head. Okay.
That's fine. I mean, a lot of people, you know, they automatically download stuff every week and they may not necessarily get to it, but that's, I mean, that's still people have are going out of their way to download something that you put out there because they at least on some level at some point wanted to hear what you had to say. That's big. What other job? I mean, there are people. I mean, look, I don't have 5,000 Twitter followers. So there aren't 5,000 people that care to follow me enough to know what I want to say. The 5,000 downloads is a big deal. It's a lot more than a lot of people get.
So many of my followers are spam.
Well, I'm that's just
putting
fine.
That out
doesn't
there right
matter.
Now.
I mean, I'm sure mine are too.
I was going through the list, and I can't tell you how many have characters that I don't even know how to pronounce.
Oh, the Russians. Yeah.
Not even Russian. Like one of those weird island countries. Like, where I think I could buy a wife for $10.
You probably could.
There's a lot of weird. The internet's a creepy place,
it's
my friend.
It's a very dangerous place.
Let's talk what we said we're going to talk.
Okay.
We got a couple of topics here. We can do True Detective. We can do Michael Sam. I think we got to do Michael Sam.
Of course. It's the biggest.
It is Michael Sam, right? I'm not screwing that up.
Other than the Olympics, which I don't think anybody necessarily cares about, I think this Michael Sam story is probably the big one.
When I was a kid, I was obsessed with Olympic hockey. There was a time where hockey was my jam. I would not piss on hockey to put it out if it was on fire today.
Wow.
I am NFL loyal 100%. That's really...
Well, you, it's not like a wife. It's not like if you watch other sports, you're cheating on the NFL, though.
But it's just that's what holds my interest. Like,
okay.
The Caps are currently playing, right?
Well, they're off now.
They're off. Okay.
Yeah, it's for the Olympic break, so they're not
Well,
playing.
Okay, yeah. They have to ship all their guys back home.
Yes. But
they'll be back.
But currently, their season is ongoing. Correct.
I would rather read about the goddamn, like, combine in a month on Pro Football Talk.
So you're the worst.
Than keep up with the Caps.
You are the worst person in the world.
Oh, definitely.
You actually care about these guys getting measured and timed.
Oh, yeah. It looks like an auction. It's horrific. Racist thing I've
ever
seen.
Oh, and it's just, I can't watch that stuff because I'm bored with it. But I just sit there and go, didn't we kind of have a problem with this years ago?
Yeah.
Of like sizing up big black men.
Oh, yeah.
And then trying
They might as well just stick a gloved finger in their mouth and be like, look, all his teeth.
Yeah. I mean, it's really creepy.
Oh, it's horrific.
And I mean, yeah, it's funny to watch the big fat guys run. And then everything jiggling around. I mean, that's
slow motion gifs of like Mance gets jiggling.
I mean,
are the best.
That's funny, but yeah, I mean, look, I don't agree when you get a guy like Adrian Peterson from Minnesota who goes, this is just like slavery. Not the hell it is. Okay, I don't think your ancestors, if they were slaves, are signing multi-million-dollar contracts to pick cotton.
Yeah,
it's insulting to them, to their memory, for you to say. Edge, just like slavery. Really?
Yeah.
You're living in a pretty
darn
good
house. If they sat on the
house.
Bench, they lost half a foot.
Yeah, exactly. It's kind of like, you know, you should probably be careful with that kind of imagery.
I don't like when that stuff is tossed around lightly.
No, because I almost sit there and go, I'm not even a black guy. Surprise, right?
Yeah.
And I look
not
at
on
that,
this show.
Yeah,
ding, ding.
And I go, wait a minute. I'm even a little offended. And I don't even have ancestors that were necessarily brought over here from Africa in chains.
Yeah.
And you're going to tell me that you make multi-million-dollar contract running a football and you liken it to being a slave? Are you out of your mind? That's the kind of thing that I just go, you don't get it. And on the other side of it, I go, you know what? That's kind of good because we've come so far that you don't get it. You don't know what it's like. You have no idea what it was like even 50 years ago to go through the crap that those people were going through in the 50s and 60s.
It's the same thing,
idea.
To a lesser extent when the word racist and racism is turned around.
Oh, my gosh, yeah.
Or bandied about. It's like, I'm sorry, are you getting fire hosed because you wanted to take a leak in the white toilet?
Right. I don't remember anybody when Adrian Peterson went to play the Atlanta Falcons that he couldn't go out to dinner with his teammates because the restaurant wouldn't serve his kind.
Yeah.
I don't think he's experienced that. Are there some yahoos out there that are still dropping the M-bomb? Of course there are, because there are ignorant people everywhere. And they will continue to be ignorant people everywhere. But please don't even think for a second that this guy understands at all what those people went through 170 years ago, let alone 50 years ago. It's a joke. And that ties in to, of course, Michael Sam.
Yeah, and I was just going to say, you were going to say we're doing nothing. Not even 30 minutes into the show, we solved racism. But
of course,
back
well, there
to
you go. Excellent. Well, it ties in with Michael Sam because I made this example today, and I was surprised that I didn't get a lot of shocked looks.
Shall we say who Michael Sam is?
If you don't, okay. Michael Sam was a defensive player at Missouri, University of Missouri. Mm-hmm. They play in the Southeastern Conference, SEC, Alabama, Auburn. Everything. He was the co-defensive player of the year in the SEC this year. He was an All-American. So he's not some dummy football player who wasn't going to be good. He's a legit NFL prospect.
I had heard as high as third round.
Third round, perhaps. People say he may be a little undersized to play defensive line in the NFL. That's what he played in college. They think that maybe you have to play linebacker, whatever. By the way, he's gay. Let's put it out there. He did. So we're going to put it out there as well. Shouldn't matter.
No, it shouldn't. But just putting it in context, it is the first time I think like an active.
Yes.
Who the hell was it in the NBA that came out?
Jason Collins.
Jason Collins, like really at like 38 when he knew his career was in the.
His career was over pretty much. Nobody assigned him. And everybody goes, oh, look, he came out. Nobody signed him. No, nobody signed him because he's not any good anymore.
Yeah.
That's the reality of it.
He's like a career role player.
Yeah, if he was 25, 26, somebody would have signed him. It's no big deal.
Yeah.
That's why with Michael Sam. And I used the example today. I was at George Mason earlier today to talk to a couple of different classes, and one of them was a media class that we were talking about how the media handles stuff. And
did
I
you
said,
tell them to run and get a real job?
I didn't, but they probably should figure it out. But I said, you know, look, it's different. Language is entirely different now than it was 30 years ago, 40 years ago. You know, language evolves. Language changes. When I was a kid, 9, 10, 11 years old, what was one of the games that you played? You got a football out. If you didn't have enough people to kind of divide up into teams.
Smear the gay American is what I think you're talking about.
The queer.
Yeah.
At 10 years old, I had no idea what a queer was. No one told me. No one sat down and said, well, you know, smear the queer. Really what you're saying is smear the guy who likes to be with other men.
Yeah.
That's what you're saying. Is that you're smearing the homosexual.
Time, did you even like
just thought it rhymed. We had no idea.
I would throw around queer and gay. In
of
fact,
course
I had
you
zero
did.
Idea what it actually meant.
Of course, because it didn't mean that you were homosexual. It didn't mean that you liked other men.
I remember I would watch Men on Film on In Living Color. You remember that
of
bit?
Of course.
I had no fucking idea what the whole shtick was. Like I didn't.
You just
I
thought
just,
that was funny.
I just thought they acted girly.
Right.
I didn't realize they were gay. And then the one time where Damon Wayans gets hit on the head, and he's like, oh, "Fucking Kelly Bundy, I'd bang the shit out of that." Like he goes straight for
right.
the duration of the sketch. I'm like, "Oh, he's acting like kind of manlier now." I'm confused.
Yeah, but language change. You could not if that was played on a playground today in 2014. Could you imagine the outrage?
Oh, the kid would be suspended alongside Mr. Bread Gun.
First, it would be exactly Mr. Pop-Tart Gun. First off, they wouldn't be allowed to play that type of game anyway where you actually had physical contact with another student because God forbid anybody touch anybody even to play tag, to play tag anymore, let alone smear the queer. But could you imagine kids sitting in the cafeteria? Hey, you know what? When we get outside of recess, I'm going to take the ball first. We're playing smear the queer. See if you can catch me. Ha-ha. And that's the talk that we had when we knew we were going outside after, you know, lunch. You always went outside to burn off the energy, right? So you wouldn't be little squiggly pants sitting in classroom. That's why they took you outside to play kickball or whatever.
I never even thought of that.
That's why they did it. You would eat food, and then if you went right back to the classroom, you'd have all this energy. So you'd just be like out of control. So go burn it off.
In adult life, we are so built to just eat food and then let every one of those calories turn immediately into fat.
Right.
We wouldn't even think. I crushed a gigantic lunch earlier today.
Of course you did.
And I just sat in my car for a while. I was like, I need to let this digest so that the steering column has room.
Yeah. But no, elementary school, they'd take you outside, and we would play smear the queer in elementary school. I mean, full on, you tackle somebody, clothes would get ripped. Nobody cared. Nobody said anything. Didn't matter. If you did that today, the teacher that allowed it would probably go to
pretend
jail.
Like gang fights.
Of course.
I would try out like running jump kicks and shit I had no business even attempting because I saw it on a video game and it looked fun.
But now, could you, I mean, again, that's why language changes. You're not allowed to say queer or gay in a derogatory way or whatever. And I mean, in some ways, that's a good thing. In some ways, evolving like that is good. That's why I look at this Michael Sam thing and go, you know, there's a story that 8 personnel people from various NFL teams were all like, well, we can't draft this guy. How are you going to bring him into that locker room? Mm-hmm. You're going to have all sorts of media coverage and press and everything. Why would we upset that locker room? Jackass, who cares if he's gay? If he can play, he can play.
I mean, that's how I feel. That's how you feel. And I think we all wish that's how people would feel. I'll say this much, and this isn't an assumption. According to some interview, they grabbed a couple anonymous vets from the league and asked a couple questions. I forgot who on PFT did it. If it's PFT, they're reporting on someone else's report.
Sure, of course.
So it's like third hand.
They're like the Drudge Report of the NFL.
Exactly. It's nice.
He doesn't actually report anything. He just aggregates everything. Yeah.
Some old dude was like, look, there's certain locker rooms where this would be cool and others where it wouldn't. Like, he honestly does believe there are certain locker rooms that would have enough of an issue. Where
but
he'd
I'll
be like, fuck.
Guess those locker rooms are teams that suck.
And they're just looking for anything at that point?
Yeah, No, I'm saying the locker rooms that would have a problem with it, their team probably sucks. Because I imagine if you put that guy, whoever it may be, Michael Sam or whoever else, and he's gay, and you put him in the Seattle locker room or the San Francisco locker room or the Denver locker room, it's not going to be a problem. You know why? They're winning organizations. They know how to deal with all sorts of nonsense. And the first thing they're going to say is, if any of you guys got a problem with playing with a guy who's gay because he's gay, get out. Because he's here to help us win. If he can help us win, what's the problem? If he's not good enough, we'll cut him. End of story. Point blank, end of story. So to me, the teams that can't handle the media crunch, they probably suck anyway.
He's not coming to Washington.
No, he won't come to Washington. He won't. You know why? Jay Gruden can't handle it. And that's not an indictment of Jay Gruden. It's the first time he's ever been a head coach.
Yeah.
I wouldn't lay that in his lap. It wouldn't be fair to him. Because again, even if he could help the team win, do you want Jay Gruden, with everything else going on, do you want him to have to deal with every single
press
conference?
No, there's a reason they kept the defense intact.
Exactly.
They kept
Jim Haslett and Raheem Morris to coach their defense, which sucked last year. So you want him now, every press conference he opens up, and some dummy's going to be like, so what'd you think of the gay player today?
Yeah. We could do that and then also bring in Michael Vick just for the
right.
Just
yeah, might as well. Yeah, sure. Just piss everybody off. It'd be fine. I like this. I mean, I've made this point before, and again, people can believe it or they cannot believe it, but it's reality. If you have rooted for a team in, I don't know, the last 20 years, probably even longer than that going back, but let's just say for those of us that are, you know, around my age, your age, whatever, in the last 20 years or so that you've been following sports, you've probably rooted for a gay athlete on your team. And you know what? If you got a problem with that, I got news for you.
Yeah.
You might as well stop rooting for teams because whether you want to believe it or not, I would imagine that every locker room at some point in every sport, I mean, not currently, I'm not going to go out there and say, yes, every major league team with a 25-man roster, there's at least one of them that's gay.
If you're riding the odds,
it's probably pretty close. But I guarantee you at some point a gay athlete has passed through your city, you've rooted for him, and you had no idea. So if that's the case, why would it matter if he came out and told you he was gay? You rooted for him without knowing.
I wish people
were that
logical.
At least he's being honest.
I wish people were that logical.
Because you know what? If you wouldn't root for him because he's gay, you're not being honest. Because you want everything to be a secret at that point.
Yeah.
So you want to keep you being a homophobe from everybody else. So you want everybody else to lie about what's going on. Because I guarantee you, ask fans straight out, do you have a problem if your team is a gay player? Most of them are going to lie and say, oh, no, I'd be fine with it. Until you turn off the tape recorder or the reporter puts down his pen and pad and you get him drinking beer with his buddies and they go, I don't want that fag on my team.
I Jesus Christ, could I care less? Especially they think Aaron Rodgers, like, did you hear that little?
It was great. Oh, yeah. Yeah, it was great.
He's one of the four gay guys that was supposed to, like, come out last year.
Our buddy that we talked about, Chris Jolly, he's a big Green Bay Packers fan.
Yeah.
Of course, the first phone call I made, because his son is named Aaron, I forget his middle name, Charles, I think, for Charles Woodson. His son is named Aaron Charles Jolly. So immediately, I wrote to him, because this is what guys do, and I said, when do I buy the pink Aaron Rodgers jersey for your son? Because if you're going to have him growing up like him, we need to be prepared. It had nothing to do. I didn't care. I don't care if Aaron Rodgers is gay. And it had nothing. I mean,
if he keeps playing like that, who gives a
who
shit?
Who cares?
His touchdown celebration could be sucking off a guy on the 50. I don't give a fuck.
It doesn't matter. Right. If he dropped to his knees and did some signal like he's giving a head, who cares?
Just spilling Greek yogurt
on
his noggin.
Right, right. If he's just dumping something, who cares? But that's the kind of thing. And again, it doesn't make me homophobic. I would think people go, well, that's not very nice. You're making fun of people
but
being
gay.
It's
like a joke. That's what people don't get. You can joke about this all you want. It's not actual discrimination.
Right. No, because here's the thing. If I really didn't like the idea that Aaron Rodgers was gay, the email would have said, when are you taking the Aaron Rodgers jersey off your son because Aaron Rodgers is gay? Instead, I said, when are you going to put the pink one on it?
You're having fun with it.
Because it's just a stereotype, and stereotypes, I'm sorry, they're funny.
I'm with you.
They're funny.
I'm with you 100% on it.
As long as everybody gets it, as long as you're not doing it to put somebody down, it's fine. I've had a lot of my gay friends, and my cousin is HIV positive. I have a lot of friends, a lot of people that I deal with in that community. Uh-huh. And this isn't a, well, I have some friends that are black type thing. This is a, I've had the conversation with them, open dialogue, and said, look, I'll stop this if you think it's coming from some sort of demeaning way, or if you think that I'm going across the line or if it makes you uncomfortable, please tell me, because I don't mean it that way. But if it's coming across that way, I'll stop. And they go, no, it's funny. And they'll say stuff to me, I mean, right back to it, as long as you have that type of relationship.
And that's a much more human discussion than just being like, I'm afraid to say this because you might be hurt by this. And
right. I'm not afraid.
If they are
hurt,
then they'll tell you. They're human beings. They can, you know, vocalize emotions.
I'm not afraid or homophobic in the sense, oh, I can't be around gay people. Oh, no, but do I want to go hang out at a gay bar? No. There's nothing there for me.
Yeah.
So if that makes me homophobic, that I don't want to go to, like, Broadway shows and stuff like that, then I guess I'm homophobic.
Like, the actual, if I have to think about the actual mechanics of gay sex, not so, don't care.
I don't think about it,
But I, not JFK, it would be funny if it had been JFK, but another station I worked at in the area, a lot of gay dudes on the staff.
Sure.
Like, in all truth. And it didn't matter. Like, they're just coworkers. If anything, I was like, oh, it's cool, I'm finally working with gay people, aren't I cultured? Look at me in the
that
big
makes you
city
feel better. Right. It's funny because we had in Baltimore, there was a guy that was openly gay on the staff, and as you would at a sports radio or really just radio stations, things get vulgar at times, things are said, and I just remember him talking about his weekend and going to but it was like anybody else. I mean, you wouldn't.
I would find it fascinating.
If you didn't
honestly
know that he was gay, like if you just walked into the room in the middle of the conversation, there's like four or five of us that all got our feet up and we're just hanging out or whatever, BSing, and he's talking about going out to this bar and, oh, I had way too much to drink. And if you didn't hear him say, and I'm talking to this guy, I saw him across, you would have thought that he was as straight as anybody else and he was just picking up some bimbo at a bar. And it wasn't until he got to the fact of talking about taking him back. And we're at that point, he's like, I don't know, because is it my place to ask him back to my place, or is it his place to ask me back? And I went, wait a minute. I said, why is it anybody? I mean, he said, how do you determine that? Because, I mean, look, I get it. There's, somebody is the quote unquote man in the relationship. Yeah. But even when you're picking somebody up at a bar, there's that confusion of who's going back to whose place. And is that like a power play? I mean, also,
fascinating, actually.
And then like 10 minutes after, I'm like, why am I? I will never need this information again, ever.
Getting past Mullins, you never know.
I will never need to know how that works if one gay guy is picking up another one at the bar. I don't need to know. But I was like, you know what? It was just us.
I think
BS,
you go to the house
of
whoever doesn't have the wife and kid on the side.
Well, exactly. Whoever's not doing it on the down low, that's the person's house you go to. But yeah, it was like, it was just fascinating because I'm like, I thought it later on. I was like, you know, that was just any other conversation like I would have had with my buddy. Like, well, of course you go back to her place. You never let her see where you live. It was the same kind of, it was like, that's what I thought. I said, why was that even a debate? You go with him. And he goes, well, there's kind of a, I'm like, no, you don't want him to know if it's just a hookup. But I was like, well, they're both guys. So it doesn't matter because he's not going to care where he lives anyway. He's not going to care afterwards. Right? I mean, that's got to be the nice thing about it. You know, at the end of it, since you're both guys, it's not going to be, gee, I wonder if he's going to call me back. You don't care because neither one of them are going to call.
I've been watching like way too much 6 Feet Under recently. Okay. I don't know if you ever saw that.
I've seen it. Yeah, yeah.
All right. Had like Dexter as a gay guy and he had like the black cop boyfriend. Sure. It just, it's reminding me of that 100%. A little bit of what they got going on, I am jealous of, because it's like, hey, we love each other. We're in a committed relationship. About every 4 months, they just fuck up and bang someone new. It's
sure.
Like, I did that. It's like, all right, what's for dinner? They just, it's such not a factor.
Right. Because that's the way guys would handle it.
They just understand it. Because I suppose a big part of it, though, is how would you react if you could get some on the side, but your chick would also pull that card so often.
Right, and most guys wouldn't be able to handle it. But again, that's...
I don't know, maybe 10 years in, I think you would.
That's why...
Is this the price I pay? Yeah, okay.
Sure. I mean, that's why I think that this whole thing of people arguing over gay marriage and stuff, and I don't want to turn your show into some politics.
That's fine, I don't give a shit.
I mean, look...
My show's a finish line. Let's just get there.
You want to be offended by gay marriage, fine. You have every right to be offended by gay marriage. Personally, I don't care. But I will say this. Marriage is not necessarily a state or government invention, if you will.
Mm-hmm.
It was invented by religion, right? I mean, I think we could all pretty much agree that.
I guess, yeah.
From what I know, marriage
I've done so little research.
Yeah, exactly. But I'm pretty sure that marriage is kind of like, and it eventually, because a lot of countries, i.e. Great Britain and everything, were tied into churches, which is why we invented this country, because we didn't want to be tied in with the church anymore. So to me, marriage is still... And I've always looked at it as a religious type thing. So if a church doesn't want to allow you to marry, fuck that church then. Who cares? Go someplace else and don't even call it a marriage. Just call it a civil union. Tie the knot that way. You know what? It doesn't change anything. That language doesn't change. You're still committed to that other person and you still, in the eyes of the government, will get that tax break. Because honestly, isn't that what it's all about? Is that tax break?
Getting taxed as one.
That's why I look at it and say, to me, it's a very simple solution to the debate. If you want to be married, go to whatever church that you attend anyway. And odds are, if you're a gay couple in a church and you're out to the point that you can announce that you're getting married, that church has already let you know whether or not they're going to accept that and allow you to get married there anyway. I imagine if they're against it, you're probably going to be shunned and you're going to go find another church. But I don't get the people, these activist idiots that want to go, oh, I don't attend this church, but I'm going to force you to marry us anyway because it's my right. No, F you. That church doesn't have to marry you.
I'm with you that. Yeah. Honestly, if you can find a church that will legally call it a marriage or whatever, then you're good.
Fine. But if you can't, don't force them to. Because just like you didn't like being forced not to marry... Why would you turn around and then go, well, we were forced to do all this other stuff. We weren't allowed to do this. We weren't allowed to do that. So now we're going to make you do this. I never understand that mentality.
You wouldn't walk into McDonald's and say, cook me a good meal.
Right.
You go to McDonald's for what it offers.
You wouldn't go to Pizza Hut and say, can I get the 10-piece McNugget?
Exactly.
Because they're going to look at you and be like, get the fuck out of here. Why would I cook? We don't do that here. Well, I'm completely offended. Why would you not allow me to get McNuggets here? Well, because you can go somewhere else and get McNuggets. Yeah, we don't do that here.
Walk out of the shithole and go to the good place.
Right. So if you walk into a Southern Baptist church and you go, me and Clyde want to get married and we're going to make you marry us, and the minister goes, sorry, we don't do that here. I don't know that you can turn around and then say, well, why not? I have every right to get married. Yeah, you do, but not necessarily in this church. Right?
You have said nothing I wish to contradict thus far.
I mean, people probably hate me. That's fine. You can, send me nasty letters.
I want to say we sound very common sense here.
Yeah, but people don't like common sense. That's the whole problem with everything going. I mean, again, so much stuff that goes on. And it goes back to like the common sense, talking about Michael Sam. Common sense would tell you it shouldn't matter. But there are people out there that, well, I could never root for a gay player. Well, you're an idiot then. And common sense would tell you, again, you're in a perfect example. You're in a relationship. Say you're dating some girl for 6 to 8 months, a year, whatever it is.
So the sex is already dried up. Continue.
Finally, she comes to you and says, you know what? It's not working for me. I don't want to be in this relationship anymore. Who cares? I don't care if she says it's not you, it's me. Whatever. Doesn't matter what the reason is. I have never understood why suddenly people, I mean, I get being upset. I get going, I wish I was back with her. But when it boils right down to it, why do you want to pine to be with somebody that has told you they don't want you? Why are you so far down in self-esteem wise that you
think that's all you're going
to
get?
That you should beg and be like, I can't believe I have to be with her. Why? She told you she doesn't want to be. She doesn't want you.
Oh, yeah.
Find somebody that wants to be with you.
It's so creepy. Like, I get it if you're like, that chick was out of my league. And I'll probably be like spanking to the memory of that figure right. for a good long time. That I comprehend. That's a visceral thing. It is what it is. But to be like, someone has turned off on me. They don't give a shit about me emotionally, but I need to fight to keep that. Yeah. No.
Why? Why would you want to do? Why wouldn't you be like, okay, fine, more in the relationship. It's perfectly natural. We've all done it. I get it. Get drunk every once in a while. Send her some hideous text hoping to get makeup sex.
Here's what you're missing.
Right, exactly. But why would you pine for that? Why would you pine away for somebody that doesn't want you in their life anymore? And I kind of equate it to, why would you pine to try to force somebody who really doesn't want you there? Why would you try to force them to do that? Why would
force
you try
who
to
you
force?
Are, yeah.
Right. Why? I mean, and again, it's different. People go, it's civil rights. It's civil rights. No, it's not really. Because when you look at what happened with civil rights, that was all about equality and getting jobs, everything else. I'm not for
Civil rights.
Well, no, I'm not. Exactly. I think it was terrible. No, I'm not for workplaces being able to go, so, you gay? Because we can't have that around here. That's completely different than asking a private religious organization whose beliefs don't line up with your lifestyle for you, because the way you live your life is different from theirs, that they need to change. I've always been against that. I've never understood anybody looking at, say, the way I live my life. I don't smoke pot. I never have done it in my life. You want to smoke pot? Have at it. Colorado, Washington, other states. It may be legal nationwide. I still won't smoke pot. My individual choice. But for people to come to me and be like, what do you mean you don't smoke pot? Well, that's just ridiculous. That's just no. Go smoke your pot. You don't need to convince me. You don't need to preach to me about all the benefits of pot and how great it is. Just go smoke your pot. Let me do whatever it is that I do. Let me not smoke pot. Let me go do all this other stuff. And just leave it at that. Too many people want everybody else to live like them. It'd be much world be a much better place if we just went, each to his own.
I wish we could end there. I wish we could end there. It's so good, but we got like
more.
You've got
Facebook stuff. You need to bitch about Fios. That's where you should go. You want to talk about people screwing you over, not letting you live like you want to live.
In the ass.
Right.
I can do my quick Fios.
No,
bit.
Please, no, go.
Really?
Yeah.
You're unleashing me.
12 minutes?
Something like that.
Take all of them. I don't care.
All right. Well,
can we not go longer on this? I mean,
we can go as long as we want.
Whatever
it
you
want
to do.
I
feel like I'm monopolizing all the time, and I feel bad for that.
Dude, I'm happy to be working with a radio pro. Mm-hmm. Like, everyone who's co-hosting on this show, not to throw anyone under the bus. A lot of them have gotten very good in their tenure with me. But I believe I'm very laid back on the mic, and it's great having, like, a dude who has a spitfire attitude here, because it gets me a little more hyper.
Well, you were telling me about your Fios bullshit off the air.
I've bitched about Fios before on this show. They are you with Fios by any chance?
No. Okay. If I were, I'd be like, hey, actually on the Fios. No, my girlfriend, for full disclosure, it works for AT&T.
Oh, no shit. Okay. Yeah. That's all good. Fios, the first year you get it, you sign a 2-year contract.
Uh-huh.
That first year is dog shit cheap. No one's going to beat that price.
That's how they get you.
Oh boy, do they. Oh boy, do they. My mom came to me with the bill after that first magical year went away.
Yep.
And I think, no exaggeration, we went from $1.20 to $1.80 per month.
Yep.
You're talking an extra 50% to talk like the kids do.
Mm-hmm.
So I have pissed and moaned for a long time to Fios on the show, via text, a lot of tweeting.
Do you send them the show, like, to their management? Like, hey, I'm bitching at you.
Yeah, here, I'll be like, here's...
Fast forward to, you know, minute 38.
I will at mention them and be like, here's where I fuck your shitty corporation on the air, and I have a couple thousand listeners.
Nice.
So someone will get their brains turned around because
of
me.
Right.
There is no budging. They could not give a solitary flying fuck what is said about them. They are just monopolizing the shit out of it. I don't know what exactly is going down. And you know what? Joke's on me, because I'm still sticking with them. I said I'd leave, and I'm not going to make my mom and my bro memorize new channels again just because I'm beefing with BIOS.
You can print out a label for them. It's funny. My mom just went through the same thing where she signed up for the FiOS deal. Mm-hmm. Because I have DirecTV. I love DirecTV.
Tell her enjoy that honeymoon phase.
Well, right. Well, here's the thing. She had a problem with DirecTV years ago. It won't go back to them. That's her issue. I have DirecTV at our house. We have it at our lake house. I'm fine with DirecTV. So my own.
That's how everyone is. Until you
them.
Get fucked, you're like, hey, okay.
Right. So she left DirecTV and signed up with FiOS. Did the whole 2-year deal and the whole nine. And then it got to be really expensive. And I look, same thing. One day I'm over at her house. I look at the bill and I go, holy S. You really shouldn't be paying for this, because you got a lot of other bills that are going on.
The cable boxes alone, I want to say, were $45 per month.
Yeah, it was unbelievable. So I started looking around, and shockingly enough, Cox was one of the people who, because you know they only have it in certain sections. Certain people can have cable in certain sections.
Well, it gets
other
me. Cox
can't.
Used to brag about the fact we have no contracts, just cancel middle of the month. We don't give a shit.
Right. Yeah, not anymore.
And now you join Cox, it's like, here's our 2-year plan.
Right, exactly.
Like, you sons of bitches.
So I told her, I said, look, we'll just get you the new Cox deal, because we'll sign up for that. It'll save you money immediately. And then when this runs out and it's gotten more expensive, we'll flip to something else. I don't mind doing the paperwork every 2 years. It's easy.
If it were me, I'd be juggling them every month if I could.
Flat cancel it. So I'm with you, because it was unbelievably expensive, and they were a pain in the ass to cancel. Now, I didn't have the experience that you did.
The canceling doesn't seem that bad. They seem more than ready to let me fly the hell away.
F you, see ya.
Yeah, because I'll lay it out there. I'll be like, okay, I'm quitting. They're like, all right, let me transfer you to someone who can cancel for you. I'm like, Jesus fucking Christ, you guys.
Some guy making like $10.50
an
hour.
They don't see a lick of the bottom line. No, what the fuck do they care? They just want you off the line. So to shave some of my monthly cost, because I'm like, you know what? Fuck it. You can suck me dry, because I'm too lazy to sit down with my mom and be like, hey, I'm forcing your 70-year-old brain to learn this shit all over again 2 years after we just did it. So I've lowered the internet speed. Suddenly it's only as fast as Cox was. I'm taking away everything that was good. I'm taking my cable box from my room, and I'm just like, fuck it. I'm sending it back. I call into FiOS. I'm like, what do I have to turn in? They're like, some people mention the remote, some don't. Some say I have to bring in the HDMI, some don't.
Right.
It's so great getting 5 different answers. But everyone's like, bring in your cable box to the FiOS store and call it a day. So on my way to the studio, I was like, I'm going to be a good boy and remember to do this. And I drive up to the FiOS store next to the Cheesecake Factory, because I live in a suburban hell and everything is in one dumpy mall together.
You were in Fair Oaks, weren't you?
I was in Fair Oaks. Good old Fair Oaks. They've shut down the escalator, by the way.
Oh, my gosh. I never go to that mall. But
that's a toilet. And they've got a lot of exposed concrete. Pick so up if you want to fall and pick up a couple bucks.
Oh, that's
good,
an idea.
Good getting right
I
now.
I drop the kids off there all the time. They love shopping at Fair Oaks.
Really?
That's because it's the only mall close by.
Aren't you just like the internet exists, kids? Buy things.
You know, they got to go and look at stuff.
Ugh.
You know.
How old are they?
15 and 17.
They haven't outgrown that?
No. No, no, no. No. They'll in college, the girls still go to the mall. Please. No.
Ugh.
Yeah.
That's horrific.
They like Tyson's more, but I'm like, hey, you know what the traffic's like?
It's the hoity-toity.
Yeah, exactly. They don't need to be shopping over there either. But.
So I strut in,
mm-hmm.
and I get a girl, and you just know she's got attitude. Like, she's just disinterested.
She's
texting.
Working at the FiOS store at Fair Oaks Mall. And you're bothering her because of her $12 an hour job where she can just text her boyfriend back and forth all day. Now you've interrupted.
But that's what kills me. She made more than I made at JFK. I lived for that job. Is it because that was a great job? And by the way, we got a kids tour coming through the other room.
Awesome.
Yeah. So once in a while, I get a nice MILF walking through.
Hopefully they're not playing the show in there. So if we language, that'd be.
I hope not. Are you kidding? There's one chick every Wednesday night I just ogle the hell out of. He walks in there, skinny number.
Just wave. You're like, I think I'll get my studio time for Wednesday night.
Yeah. All right. Are you kidding? I try to book it all the time. There Wednesday 6 to 8. So I walk in and I clunk down my cable box. She's like, well, is this the only box in the house? I'm like, no, as a matter of fact, there is this and another one. I'm not shutting down my full account, because that was the next question. Mm-hmm. I'm like, this is just one of two boxes. I am rich in America. I can afford all of these things. And she, you could tell she was getting wet with what she got to tell me next. She goes,
oh no.
Well, I can't take this unless you agree to an extra $10 processing fee. And I'm like, do come again. Because why the hell can I not drop off your Verizon product at the Verizon store?
This is your store. This is your cable box.
Well, apparently, Fios has an agreement with UPS where you can take a cable box and dump it off at UPS. And
no box involved? You just hand them the box?
You literally take the box, the cable, like power wire, and the remote, and you say,
wow.
Voila.
That's okay.
I mean, it kind of sounds okay. Would have been nice if someone told me that. Why do I have to fucking have a PhD in Fios to know where the hell to drop off their product? And why didn't anyone tell me?
They sent my mom boxes in the mail for her to send. Yeah. They said you can either do that, drop it off at, they said a Fios store, because, of course, she was canceling completely.
Okay. See, and apparently it's a difference.
I guess so. And my mom was like, well, what's my other option? Like, well, we could send you boxes. She's like, send me boxes.
Yeah, of course. Why the fuck would I get off my ass to do
right.
this?
So. That sucks, though. I didn't know that you could just walk in and be like, here you go. It's almost like those hotels that say postage guaranteed.
Yeah.
If you find a hotel, you just drop it in the mailbox.
No, 100%.
I always wanted to do that, by the way.
Really?
Just to see if it worked.
See if it got there?
Yeah.
Supposedly, you can do it with a wallet. I'm sure it would come to the owner like completely picked over. But
somehow
apparently,
you
can just chuck a wallet.
In a mailbox.
In a mailbox. And in theory, it goes back to its owner.
That's worth trying.
Like a bird of prey flying to the falconer's arm.
That's worth trying to see if it actually works.
I would not try it with my own, but...
No. I mean, you would take everything out, all the credit cards, everything else.
Steal someone's wallet?
Just take a wallet, put an ID of some sort in there that, you know, sends it to the address and see if it works. I used to do the scam all the time.
Do tell.
Of the, not to interrupt your Fios story.
No, it's dead. See, this is why I wanted a Radio
no, no,
Pro
no, it's
on.
Fine.
I'm like, where does the Fios story go?
It goes with you being pissed off and screwed. That's what it is.
I'm pissed. I'm just pissed that businesses can do this to people.
Of course.
Where it's like,
you don't have a
choice. You do this. And it's like, wow, why the hell would I know that?
You did until you went in there and talked to the girl making $12 an hour, and then she told you.
Ah,
and then you
her.
Went on your way, and she went back to texting her boyfriend.
Ah, life's hell. Life is hell.
But it used to be, you know, if you accidentally try to send a card to somebody, like in the mail, and you don't put the stamp on, what happens? They bring it back
return
to that little address in the corner.
Yeah.
Right? So I always tried the scam of writing where I wanted it to go in the upper corner, and then putting like my address down in the bottom to see, would
did
actually
it work?
Get through. A couple times it actually made it to the person, because you don't put it in your mailbox out at your house, because your mailman's going to go, oh, here's mail going out. Oh, they forgot to put a stamp on it. He'll just shove it right back in.
Yeah.
But if you drop it off at one of the local drop boxes and put it in, they don't know who dropped it in. Now, it may not work to go out of
state. I kind of want to try that.
It may not work to go out of state, because they probably figured out, well, this shouldn't have got here this far. It, you know, we're not going to send it back to, you know, Minnesota or whatever. But yeah, try it. Send somebody a birthday card. Next time you're out there doing it, you can need
someone
local.
Someone I don't really care about.
Yeah, somebody local. Put their address in the top left-hand corner, the return address spot. Put your address down where you would put the, you know, to sender type thing. And then just drop it randomly in a mailbox. Again, not outside your house, but like, you know, on the side of the street somewhere, or any U.S. postal, just throw it in without a stamp. See if it gets to where you want it to go.
All the little kids right now are watching you, by the way.
Work. That's fine. They can watch. You want me to turn around and give them the Stone Cold Steve Austin?
Give them a little look.
Double
yeah.
finger, double
give
them
a point and a wink.
No.
Be
no,
like,
man,
you're
just,
witnessing radio magic.
That's
kid.
Right. Exactly.
Well,
exactly.
I guess we can wrap this one up.
We don't have to. You had other stuff to talk about, though.
Yeah, but we did an hour. We needed an hour.
Is that it? I mean, now they're taking pictures, right? I just saw the flash out of the corner of my eye.
Yeah.
So I'm going to have to go out there and tell them my agent doesn't allow that.
I was going to say, you're going to have to work some autographs.
And it's going to be a situation where if I find those like on the interweb somewhere, there's going to be a problem. Because, again, not allowed to have pictures out there that aren't authorized by the agent. So,
oh, man.
We didn't get the True Detective.
But we can. I mean, we can do another half hour of crap if you want.
It's up to you. I mean, I feel bad that I monopolized your show and you didn't get to the topics that the people demand that you get to.
I look for 1 hour and then I upload that and I'm like, ta-da! It was a day. Let's do it. I'll wrap this one up so I can upload this so people can download the podcast like right now. Okay. I literally have it set up. I had them put all the software I need.
I
got
to talk
computer.
To you and figure out how to do that.
It's great. It's really easy. Bill, if they want to get a hold of you on Twitter, it's at Bill Roland.
At Bill Roland, spelled R-O-H-L-A-N-D.
Fancy spelling.
Yeah, the fancy spelling. That's right, the aristocrat spelling. Yeah, that's fine. You can hit me up on Twitter. I'm not on Facebook. Which we were going to talk about. I gave that
we
up years ago.
We still can. You're a smart man.
Yeah, it's all the cool kids gave it up years ago.
It is devoid of anything.
Kids aren't into that now. It's all about the Twitter and the Instagram, which I'm not on because I don't need people seeing pictures of like what I had for dinner. That pretty much seems what Instagram all is, right? Does anybody post other than chicks going, ooh, look at my outfit that I'm wearing?
I'm not
going to
join in just because someone we've both worked for in the past and might still work for might do that.
Well, no, I know. Everybody does that. It's not just anybody that we've worked with. Everybody does that.
I find it funny when someone in our sarcastic world does something
like that. I don't care who it is. I don't need to see your food. Period. End of story. I don't need to. That's why I'm not on Instagram. So anybody who does it, fine. Have at it. I'm not seeing it anyway because I'm not following you because I'm not on Instagram. It's just like I don't need your Facebook posts, updates of, hey, this is what's going on. Hey, this is what my kid did. I'm happy for you. I'm glad they took their first step or whatever. I'm not on Facebook, so I don't hear about it.
Okay. So we might have to come back for Facebook break.
If it's people that really want me to know some information about them, they're going to have to send
contact
me to my real email.
That is how I view it as well.
Or my Twitter. And again, if you do follow me from this lovely hour-long conversation that you and I had, Beard.
Who wouldn't?
If they do follow me, please say, hey, Bill, I'm following you because I heard you on Beard's show. And then I'll be able to tell
you. Enjoy both of your followers.
How it went well. If I even get one, that's one more than I would have had. So it's, you know, it works.
Damn it, people, follow him.
That's fine.
Let's get him up to 5 followers. I might be able to promise 5.
More. I'm beyond 5 now.
I know.
But yeah, five more.
I can guarantee you 2. 5 is pushing it, but I might have that kind of juice.
However it works. The Boy Scouts gone? Oh, yeah. The young lads are gone.
Maybe I'll like unfollow you right now and then just follow you a little
and
later.
That can be one of them. Yeah, that'd be fine.
Sugar the books a bit.
That'd be
fine. I'm John Papagiorgio. This is Papa's Basement. I'm at Papa's Basement on Twitter. In papasbasement.com is the show's website. And find the show on iTunes. Please subscribe. Give us a good rating. All that stuff. Look up Papa's Basement on iTunes. Till next week, we are out of here.
We're home free. School's out, baby.
Good show.
Nothing to talk about, nothing to critique. Great show, great guest tomorrow. You go home, have a glass of wine, whack off. I'll see you tomorrow.
That's the post-show critique?
Yeah, you're the best.
It's my time to go. I successfully burned all my bridges. Nobody loves me and I don't love nobody.
Then he said penis.
Yeah. Then he said masturbation.
Then he said vagina. That was cool.
Had a mighty hard time, but I'm on my way. Had a mighty hard time, but I'm on my way. It's a mighty hard climb.